Yes, I see a bunch of messages. Okay. All right. Yes, I will. Oh, thank you, Paul. Paul Brewer says, nice tie. Can you see the Bob the Tomato? Yes. I figured it'd be fun to have a Christmas tie. And so I was going to wear the new tie that I got from one of my boys. It's the Millennium Falcon tie, but I couldn't find it for some reason. And then I thought, you know, I never get to wear this tie because it's red and it's got Bob the Tomato on it. So yes. All right. Okay, I will. Thank you. What? Oh, really? Okay. The leg thing? All right. Okay, I will try to do that. All right. Here we go. Turn in your Bibles, Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 22. Let's see if we can get through some. All right, so again, kudos to Joshua, who got the first one in. And I'm kind of with you. This would be my second choice. Anything with Star Wars or Mandalorian, that would be awesome. I would love that. Diane Slames would like Hawaii 5-0. Is that just because it's in Hawaii? I mean, don't choose something that's like in Minnesota. No offense to my Minnesota friends, but you know, at least you know Hawaii. It's nice. Jacob Manning, Pokemon.
Yeah, awesome.
It's awesome. You want to be able to have the little ball and go catch them all.
He wants to be the very best like no one
ever was. All right. Okay. Okay. Teresa. I do not know that movie, Three Coins in a Fountain. Interesting. Okay, I don't know. I have to look that one up. So thank you for sharing that. Anthony says, is there church today? Yes, there is. All right. thank you. Sorry, I didn't respond
there
earlier.
That was in the parking lot.
You're like, what's going on? Rich Manning. Yes, Anthony Bourdain's show. Any reason to travel and go and see everything, that would be great. Oh, okay. All right, so Don Lockridge would choose Blue Bloods and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's good. But I'm just saying Blue Bloods is in New York. Like, that's cold. Like, that's cold right now. So, okay. But I hear you. And then Leslie said Last Man Standing.
Where is that located?
Last Man Standing. But that's a hilarious show. Very cool. All right. And Heather says my haircut looks awesome. Does everyone else like my haircut? Heather did it. It's my Corona cut. And then Andrina, Amazing Race. Oh, yeah, that's cool. You're changing your answer? I would love to actually go on Amazing Race. David Prince, Ready Player One. Yes, that's a good one. You're making Jacob change his answer. Jody Browning, To Kill a Mockingbird.
What?
Wow. Okay. That's okay. And then, Diane says, Last Man Standing is located in Colorado. Okay, not bad. It's a little cold, but... Oh. See, I just don't know if I should be able to say this on the thing, Emma. How dare you say that?
What is it?
Emma says, I'd be in the Raiders game yesterday and be the Dolphins kicker.
Bruh.
Bruh. That's just rude, Emma. What was that?
It's not a movie or a TV show.
She's just being mean to me. Yes, and now we're out of the playoffs. What?
The Dolphins kicker went to VP.
The Dolphins kicker went to Villa Park? Emma, if you would have been over at VP instead of Canyon, you might have actually been playing for them. So thank you all for all of your... Okay, so Teresa, Three Coins in a Fountain, Katharine Hepburn, and Louis Jordan. Oh, it's a chick flick. That's why I've never seen it. Got it. The Trevi Fountain, toss in one coin, you'll return to Italy. Two coins, you'll return and find love. Three coins, return, find love, and marry.
I'll be calling three coins in a meeting.
I'd be like, three coins the whole time. Like, give it to me, man. All right. Nice. I love that. Oh, okay. Melinda, Roman Holiday?
Roman Holiday.
You know what that one is?
I think like an old Christmas movie with like
Peck. An old Christmas movie with Gregory Peck. Yeah. All right. Yeah, none of you said Christmas movies because, you know, then you could be like in Christmas all the time. That would be so awesome. Yeah. All right. So with that, let's get started. Thank you for all of your answers. My answer, by the way, is would have been a Star Wars Mandalorian. I love that type of thing. Or I would have also chosen The Matrix, because that would be really cool to be able to be all Matrix-y and jump around and all that fun stuff. So, Roman Holiday is another chick flick. Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. I'm sure you're right. I mean, you would know more than me. All right. So Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 22. Why don't we begin a word of prayer, and then we'll be able to go over this. Lord, thank you for church again. Thank you for the people who have tuned in and are watching. Thanks for those who are watching even later than this time period. We thank you that we get to learn, and especially Acts 19, what great material is in here. And we are just asking for your wisdom, and we also pray for your guidance. We also pray for this upcoming year, that it would be a year of extraordinary living, that we would not settle for anything less than what you would have in store for us. And for me, I know that it's easy to try to just survive, but alas, it's not about surviving. It's about living and living victoriously because of Jesus Christ. So we pray all of this in his name. Amen. Okay. Oh, sorry. I better get moms in there. Enchanted. Now, which part of Enchanted? Like the fairy tale part or the real world New York City part? I mean, I think that's pretty huge. I'm going to guess for Heather that it would be... The fairy tale part. That'd be my guess. So, all right. So why do I ask this question? What was the reason for me asking about vicarious living in movies and TV shows? I think that one of the reasons why we really love these shows is the world that we live in is kind of dreary and kind of dull. Or at least it feels like it to us. We wake up, we get ready, we go to school, we go to work, and then we do our job, and then we come home, and then we watch some TV, eat some dinner, go to bed, and then we wake up and just do the same thing over and over again. For a lot of people, life has become so boring that they do try to find ways to escape. And one of the greatest ways we escape nowadays is through TV or movies, which is why we love things like action flicks. I love action flicks because, you know, I'm not living in an action flick. I don't, you know, run around Hawaii chasing bad guys, and driving Challengers and, and for you ladies that want the chick flicks, maybe you've been in a marriage for a while and he's not quite as romantic as he used to be, or you see these other romantic films and you're like, oh, I really want that. Soap operas continue to be popular. Sometimes I think even sports games, people are like, I love watching that because I can consider myself in it. Like Emma, she thinks she could be the Dolphins kicker. So, hey, I got the microphone now. I'm in charge, Emma, so you're just gonna have to take it. We love to think of how to live a more exciting life. And I think that we often end up trying to live an extraordinary life in all the wrong ways. We think to ourselves that the way to do it is to try to find some action, or it is to try to find some romance and live out a movie or a TV show in our own lives. But I believe that there's actually a better way to do that. And I think Acts 19, 1 to 22 helps give us some concepts of what it means to have extraordinary living. And I pull this from a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about extraordinary miracles, which I'm trying to figure out what an extraordinary miracle is, because isn't a miracle by its very definition extraordinary? But this is, even more extraordinary. And I think, again, as we walk through this, how the early church is getting planted all over the place, and as people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ, they're starting to realize that there's differences in different ways that they can live. All right, I'm going to get rid of that because that's starting to bother me. I'll just move this completely out of the way. All right, so Acts chapter 19. Starting at verse 1, what we're going to find out right from the beginning is extraordinary living begins with faith. When I think of what life is like, when I can think of a God who is in control of everything, when I can consider someone who has already secured my ending, it's with Jesus. As we all know, happy endings are a staple in movies and TVs. Very hard to have a successful movie that doesn't end with some sort of satisfying ending, something that's happy. We've talked about this before, Thelma and Louise, even Titanic. How does Titanic end? It's a boat that sinks and everyone's dead, but they did a good job in the movie of trying to make some sort of happy ending. Same thing with Les Mis. Ends with what? All of the revolutionary kids all die, but they do the same thing that Titanic does and has a happy ending. We are people who crave happy endings. And so if you want to have extraordinary living, I'm telling you, first and foremost, you need Jesus Christ. You need faith. And that's what this whole first section is as Paul enters into this place, Ephesus, where he's going to have his longest ministry. 3 years he's going to stick around in Ephesus. All right, so while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked him, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, a lot of ink has been spilled. A lot of debate still happens on who these disciples are. Where did they come from? I actually went back and re-listened to my old sermon on this, and I believed that it was John the Baptist's disciples. But then I actually heard some very convincing evidence that maybe it wasn't John the Baptist's disciples. It very well could be. Remember, John the Baptist lived prior to Pentecost, so he has no idea about the Holy Spirit in its fullest experience. But John the Baptist did know about the Holy Spirit. Because remember, he talked about how one was going to come after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. And I baptize you with water, but later on you're going to be baptized with the Spirit. So he knew a little, but maybe not a lot. So it still could be John the Baptist, but I'm starting to think maybe more and more that maybe it wasn't John the Baptist. But they're just disciples. Disciples who probably knew about Jesus, who probably knew about the death and resurrection of the Messiah, and who were now following God, but had not had any knowledge on what happened in Acts chapter 2, in Pentecost and the giving of the Spirit. And so that's why he's there, and he's asking them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And their answer is, "We haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit." So again, what did they know? What did they not know? And they had a knowledge, but it was incomplete. And so Paul then asked, "What baptism did you receive?" And they talked about John's baptism. Remember, John's baptism was a baptism with water and of repentance. He was trying to call the people to repentance in order to get them ready for the coming Messiah. And that's what Paul ends up going on and saying. He says, Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So Paul shows up at Ephesus, meets these guys, there's 12 guys, and he's essentially starting to build a church. He's giving them more information about who Jesus is. He's laying his hands on them. They're receiving the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. It's a validation of ministry, of what Paul was doing. So if you want to have an extraordinary life, it starts with receiving Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, if you've received the Holy Spirit, then your life now has a happy ending. It is secure. It is done. If you believe that Christ died for you, if you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness and that Jesus accomplished that through his death and then ultimately his resurrection, if you trust in him for salvation, your ending is a happy one. Even if you die here on earth, you will be resurrected to new life and you will be in heaven forever. Where I believe and I pray that God will have some sort of simulation so we can go to some of these action movies and live them out. Just my own personal pipe dream, not too sure if it's true or not. So if you want extraordinary living, first and foremost, have Jesus Christ. Because with that, you have the happy end. Verse 8. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. The way was what was the designation of Christianity. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with them and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. I really tried to come up with a good dinosaur joke there, but I really couldn't, sadly. So all I could come up with is Tyrannus, I'm sure, had a dog. Of course, the dog's name was Rex. Okay, good. And I'm sure Rich Manning is now sending some booze to me right now. And this went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and the Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. And so extraordinary living also entails daily life towards God. I think a lot of us get trapped in the idea that for us to live an extraordinary life, we have to have extraordinary things happen to us, or we need to be doing extraordinary things on a daily basis. And the problem is, it's just really not that possible to do that. You just can't live out that kind of life. I often wonder when I watch shows like Hawaii Five-0, and I go, how in the world is it possible that they have this many near-death experiences and this many bad people that they can take down in some military standard? I laugh at things like the Die Hard trilogy. Why is it that this guy always gets stuck with some sort of bad guys? I would think this dude's probably cursed. I also thought that of the Angela Lansbury Murder, She Wrote. Now there's a throwback. How come her small little sleeping town had so many killers in it that needed to be identified, and she could do that as a writer? And Scooby-Doo. Like, how in the world is Scooby and the gang always encountering bad guys in masks? It's like, how many times does that happen to you? So we sometimes have to remember that the daily living is also extraordinary living. That when we wake up and we live our life to the glory and honor of God, that's extraordinary living. It may not feel extraordinary, but we also understand the cumulative effect of daily obedience to God. That's what Paul is saying. And the cumulative effect, if as you see, everyone in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord, because he was there for about a year and then he did this daily lecture for 2 years, and people heard all about Jesus. And so much so that even in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, there were 7 letters written to the 7 churches in the province of Asia. So this was the result. This is the reason why those churches are there. So extraordinary living also involves daily living. So extraordinary living begins with God, involves daily living. Also, extraordinary living is really not about you. I think that one of the reasons, again, why we want extraordinary living is we want to feel a certain way, or we want to be the one who catches the bad guy, or we want to be the one to end up in the big romance with some guy who's really wealthy and can give me any diamond ring that I so choose. It is not about you. And we're going to see some of these extraordinary miracles that that Paul does. So God did extraordinary, and I always laugh because I've always had a problem with the word extraordinary, because really it looks like it's extraordinary. And how many of you want to live an extraordinary life? Like, it's so ordinary, it's extraordinary. Of course, we know that extra also can mean outside of, so it's outside of the ordinary. But here God does these extraordinary miracles. Now again, these are some extraordinary miracles that we see here, but you'll find out quickly that it's not about Paul. God does these things through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Now, Paul's, what was Paul's occupation? He was a tent maker. And so these napkins, these handkerchiefs, would really be what we would call sweat rags. So, you know, you wear a bandana around your neck, or you wear something on your head. You just got to imagine how crazy this would be, that Paul is there doing his labor and his stuff is getting so soaked, and he grabs it, he pulls it off, he tosses it to the side, and there's, I don't know, maybe 20 people jump for the handkerchief and try to grab it because they know that it's going to have some amazing powers by healing sick. Of course, did Paul do this? Or did God use Paul in an extraordinary way that even Paul didn't know about? I'm sure at times people came to Paul and said, hey, your handkerchiefs are also healing people. And we also know that early on in the book of Acts, it also talked about how the disciples, even if they walked by their shadow, could heal people. So this would be extraordinary, something outside of even normal miracles. So sometimes people say, is God in the business of doing really wacky, weird miracles even today? And the answer is yes. We can't force them, right? I got one of my wonderful little gifts was my little mask. And on it, I got my Searchlight logo. But I'm pretty certain, I mean, God can, if he wants to, take this and maybe he'll heal you. And this will cure the coronavirus. It can still happen, but it's extraordinary. It's outside the normal way of God's operation. So this is the reason why when we talk about what can God do, God can do pretty much anything he pleases. And so sometimes I've heard of some pretty amazing miracles that have taken place because God can do that. And then we find out, again, this concept that extraordinary living involves a personal faith. And yes, it's receiving Jesus Christ, but it's, again, such a great story because it's people who thought that it was about them. It was people who said, I want to do something special and amazing. And so all they tried to do was imitate miracles. So if I went around and just started blessing handkerchiefs and said, these will cure you, what am I doing? I'm trying to mimic a miracle and I'm trying to make it about me. But it's not about me, right? Isn't that one of our lessons? Extraordinary living is not about me. But there's these people that are. Okay, here it is. Ready, Josh? The most humorous story in the Bible. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. So I'm sure as they're going around, Paul, maybe other disciples, encounter someone who is demon-possessed, and they say something akin to, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast you out. And again, we try to make it formulaic. We try to say, well, I will just do exactly the way they did it back then, and if I repeat the exact right words, then I will be able to force God to make sure that this person has this demon cast out of them. Well, it kind of doesn't work that way. Again, casting out demons is something that is God's action. Yes, are we a part of it? Yes, does it still happen even today? I'm sure it does. I've seen a lot of people who I think are demon-possessed. But this is not something where we try to mimic something in order to make us look good. So this is what they would do. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. I mean, do these guys even have any sort of personal faith? I mean, it doesn't sound like it. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. That's not how it goes. I mean, if you are going to cast some demon out, just in the name of Jesus works, because remember, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so we have already that authority and that power to be able to say something like that. So to say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. That's what they would do. They would go around thinking, we're going to have a great little deliverance ministry. You know, people call up like, do you deliver? And, you know, it's a Uber here. So Uber Eats, this is a different type of deliverance ministry that they wanted. Thank you for chuckling a little bit. Thank you for chuckling just a little bit. That was very nice of you. Or were you laughing at something else? Well, you were laughing at something else. My jokes are terrible this morning. I'm sorry. All right, so we get... Well, I can't put my hand... I'm trying... Yes, is it...
But it sounds fine to me online.
Okay, you know what I'll do? Let me see if I can put it up here, and then maybe I won't touch it. But yes, that's the problem, is I got this cord. All right, there we go. All right, so... Verse 14, seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. Now, let me, this guy named Sceva, there is no record of him at all in history. So this probably lands under the category of he is a priest that is trying his best to look like he's important. Again, he's trying to make it all about himself. So we have no record of this guy, and he's got these seven kids, and they're running around saying, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Just a dumb way to do it. So one day, as they, you gotta imagine, there's these seven guys, and they encounter someone who's demon-possessed, and so they say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. So one day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? I just think this is hilarious because, and it's kind of in a descending order. Jesus I know, they know, evil spirits know about Jesus, and they're like, and I'm acquainted with this dude named Paul, because he's really disrupting a lot of spiritual stuff in this world, but who are you? Which, of course, does beg the question, are you known in hell? Paul was known in hell. Paul was known because he was a disruptor in the spiritual forces. Is it something where you wake up in the morning and your feet hit the floor and demons start going, oh, crud, here she goes. She's ready for the day. Or are you not really that known because you have a silent agreement with the devil that as long as he doesn't affect your life, you won't disrupt his life either? Paul was known in hell. Demons actually were aware of him. So they're like, Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. I don't know why. I just find that hilarious that these guys are trying to end it, which, again, is a very important lesson. A lot of times people ask me about spiritual matters and about demons, demonology, Ouija boards, stuff like that. And here's the answer. We should never, ever be afraid of demonic activity. Ever. Why? Because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Plain, period, and simple. Now, with that said, we don't go around dabbling in demonic stuff just for the funsies of it. This is the part that I think people end up making some huge mistakes. They'll say, oh, I'll just play with the Ouija board. It's probably not real. Or, oh, I'll start reading some occultic books to see what's there. If you are just someone who dabbles in it, all I can tell you is you dabble in it, At some point, you're going to get beat up. At some point, it's going to come back and really wreck your life. So the answer is, just don't do it. But if you are someone who encounters a demon or ends up in some sort of situation like that, please know you have nothing, absolutely nothing to fear. You don't have to run away. You don't have to try to preserve yourself. You can stand firm and confident that I believe in Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, that is who I turn and lean on. So these guys who are trying to make it all about them end up getting beat up. And the fact that they also, the guy ripped off all their clothes. I mean, Joshua, can you draw? Well,
don't draw.
Be careful how that one gets drawn, I guess. Because, yeah.
I'll just draw black bars.
Black bars, yeah. They're naked and they're bleeding and they're running out of the house and they're freaking out. Verse 17. Here we're going to talk about extraordinary living actually is supposed to affect you. It's supposed to do something. Yes, it's not about you. Yes, starts with faith. Yes, it's a daily living, a daily life towards God. But for some people, I think that they've stopped growing. I think for a lot of people, after time goes on, maybe they just say, I did it as a kid, but it really doesn't affect me now. It has no import in my life. And God says, no, it's actually supposed to affect you. Verse 17, when this became known to Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And when they calculated the values of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. All right, quick. What's the value of a drachma?
Worth a day's wages.
Worth a day's wage. So calculate it, 50,000. We're talking about millions of dollars that these things, these books. Now, what's really interesting about this is all of these Greeks that are there, as they're living, they come, they learn about Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden they're like, I think I should probably give up my sorcery ways. And the answer to that is, yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good idea. Granted, we may not see a lot of that here, but if I ever encountered someone who was in maybe a Wiccan coven, and they were like, I think I want to come out of this, and I want to turn my life over to Christ, and I'm going to follow him in daily living with extraordinary living. Well, that also takes an extraordinary activity of, why don't you get rid of the stuff in the past that held you back? Now, a lot of people, they have a hard time with this. They say, I can't get rid of all that stuff because it's valuable. It's worth something. I paid a lot of money to get that. No, get rid of it. It's supposed to be so radical that Jesus even says, if your eye causes you to sin and not have extraordinary living, pluck it out. If there are things in your life that need to be getting rid of, this is the time to do it. Many of you know that I'm not in the habit of doing New Year's resolutions because I think that the problem with New Year's resolutions is we feel emboldened about them January 1, and then about, what, January 10th, are we even thinking about them anymore? Because I think New Year's resolutions are all about you and not about others. And I think that a lot of people just cannot make the proper sacrifice in order to make things different. And I think a lot of people, when it comes to their faith, they say, I can't do this. I can't live for God because it's going to affect my life too much. Maybe it'll affect your finances too much.
Maybe it'll affect your friendships too much. Maybe the sin that you commit is the sin of escapism, and you're like, but I need some way to escape, whether that's through drinking too much, whether that's smoking too much, whether that's having sexual relationships too much. There are times that those things mask a deeper pain, and we get so used to them, we just keep holding on to them. And God says, it's time to cut it out. It's time to stop. It's time for some extraordinary living. And again, this was not something small. The value of these scrolls. First of all, I have no idea how many scrolls got destroyed that day. Like, were they already that valuable, or was it just so massive? I have a feeling that it was so massive because in Ephesus, this was known as the superstition capital of the world. It was also amazing, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more next week, but the greatest deity that was there in Ephesus was a female named Artemis. Yes, Joshua got excited. Joshua, what is the significance of the temple that was dedicated to Artemis? Doth thou know?
I don't know. I know that Artemis is the goddess of the moon, the hunt, and virgins.
Artemis is the goddess of the moon and the hunt and virgins. Her temple was four times that of the Parthenon. That's big. So much so that it got designated as one of the seven wonders of the world. So these people were filled with lots of superstitions. And finally, as they start coming out of this life, they realize, I've got to give up certain things because this is not helpful to me. I'm asking you today, are there things that are holding you back? Are there wizard scrolls? Are there bad relationships? Are there traps into sin that you are like, I am done, I want this gone, and somehow or another, I've got to get rid of this thing? It usually involves a sacrifice, and it's usually pretty big. It's usually pretty painful because it's going to cost in order for us to get out of it. And if that is what God is calling you today, all I can tell you is all these people openly confessed their evil deeds. Extraordinary living involves confession of sin. Do not get caught in the idea that somehow or other you're perfect. Do not get caught in the idea that you think that everyone that goes to church is perfect. Do not get caught in the idea that everyone else has their life together, but not you. Everyone that I've met is a sinner. And every single one of us needs to confess our sins to God and say, God, I am sorry that I did this. And whether it's for the first time or for the thousandth time, we come back, we don't whitewash it, we don't sweep it under the rug, we simply openly confess, God, please forgive me. And let me tell you how important it is to have extraordinary living involve open confession. And it involves a radical turn from what you've been doing. If you looked over the year 2020 and it didn't measure up to what you thought it was going to be, maybe because of some things that you've done, maybe people don't know about it, maybe I don't even know about it, maybe you haven't even confessed it to anybody, but you hide it away, I can tell you there is no better way to enter into a new year than to simply confess your sins to God and receive the full and complete forgiveness of those sins. And then to walk away from all that stuff that continues to hold you back, whether that is stuff from things your parents said when you were little, maybe that's stuff that you picked up when you were in high school or college, or maybe it's just a habitual thing that you got stuck in. please, it's time to give those things up. And so, again, you got to imagine this huge thing where all of these sorcery scrolls, they're all getting burned. And again, the calculation, 50,000 drachmas. We're talking at least 1 million, probably more. If you calculate it, it'd be pretty amazing. So in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. After all this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. After I've been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. And he sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. And that's what it means to have extraordinary living. I'm praying that 2021 is a wonderful year for us, not just in terms of a pandemic. I'm hoping that we look at what happened in 2020 and maybe come away with a challenge. I know for me, during this time, I have come to realize that there are a lot of things that the busyness, the height of busyness that I was in, finally with the pandemic, it totally changed. And I finally got some rest. And let me tell you how important it is for me that that's what took place. And I pray that for you, 2021 is an extraordinary life. A life that is filled with miracles, a life that begins with Jesus Christ, a life that involves daily, repetitive following after God, that this extraordinary life involves a rejection of past sin so that you can have new life today. I pray that for you in Jesus' name. Join me in prayer. Father, it is good to receive your love. It is good to know your grace. It is good to have Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there are people who are listening to this that do not have Jesus Christ, we pray that right now we would be able to receive Jesus, that we would be able to have him come into our life. And when he comes into our life and we receive the Holy Spirit, how wonderful it is to know that you are always going to be there for us. We also pray that we would, Lord, have a time of understanding what it means to daily live towards you. For some of us, the daily grind is just too much. And we want to have any sort of extraordinary life that doesn't involve daily living. Because I know our daily lives probably reflect something that's more that's extraordinary rather than extraordinary. And I pray, Lord, that extraordinary living would not be about us. That maybe this is the year that we start realizing that our lives are supposed to be a debt of love that we are giving out to others. That our lives are supposed to reflect that in all possible ways. And maybe, Lord, we haven't been loving in certain ways. Maybe this past year we ended up not loving our neighbor because they were of a different political party than ours. Maybe today we understand what it means to love others. And also, Lord, we pray that our life would be different because of what Jesus has done. That our past sins would not define us. That we would not be beholden or slaves to those sins any longer. But instead today we just simply say we are done with this. And Lord, now we want to burn those scrolls. We want to give up those things that are holding us back. When we do that, we'll also see extraordinary living. Because Lord, yeah, though I might think it would be fun living in Hawaii, catching bad guys, I find serving you is much more fun. I find that serving you is much more enjoyable. I find that serving you is how you've called me to be. And may I not try to live some extraordinary life the way this world defines it, but instead may our extraordinary lives be lived because of Jesus. In whose name we pray.